In the book of Psalms, number 37, focusing in briefly on verse number 23 and a few of the following, and it says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him, though he may stumble. He will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely, their children will be a blessing. Real briefly, I just want to talk to you from the subject, it's Good Riddance Day. Look at somebody and tell them, it's Good Riddance Day. You may be seated in the beauty of holiness. Shake somebody else's hand and tell them, it's Good Riddance Day, it's Good Riddance Day. Probably not unless you happen to live in New York City. December 28th was actually Good Riddance Day. Times Square organizers encouraged people to throw the lists into shredders that symbolize the act of letting go of painful memories, bad experiences, foolish mistakes, bad relationships, dumb choices, and a long-held grudges that had been in their lives and actually and truly paralyzing them from the inside. Participants could use a sledgehammer, praise God, in case the shredder didn't provide enough emotional release. Matter of fact, one blogger said, I think this is becoming one of my favorite holidays. Today's the chance to say good riddance to some things. And I'm making quite a list. And I don't know about you, but I wonder if there's anybody in here that needs to say goodbye to some stuff. There is something about the idea of out with the old and in with the new. Sometimes we need to say good riddance to the pain and hurt of the past. And to do that, we're going to have to find the courage to let go of our anger, say farewell to our bitterness, and cast off our malice towards those who have hurt us deeply. Somebody just shout, good riddance. But you can't throw everything out, because 2017 has taught some people some stuff. Has anybody in here learned some things this year? And many times you have a tendency to try to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Keep the baby. Somebody shout, keep the baby. Just get rid of the bathwater. One of the things that I think that you need to hold on to from 2017 is to put them out. The following two things seem to be true about human condition. We always need forgiveness, and we always have someone we need to forgive. It is precisely at that point in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 where this becomes relevant, because in this paragraph, Paul challenges the Christians at Corinth to reach out and forgive a man in a congregation who had sinned. He is sometimes called the great offender, and we don't know exactly what the man's name is. We don't exactly know what he did, but whatever it was, yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm sure you've had some people who have done you dirty. They've done you in. They've talked about you. They've lied on you. You thought they were your friends until the bottom fell out, and then you found out who they really were. Bible, exactly who this man is, it doesn't say, but some of the commentators said that maybe his problem was the guy in 1 Corinthians, the one that was sleeping with the other man's wife. Oh, I got quiet here. I guess you didn't go to Bible class this week. And maybe, just maybe, it was this other guy who was causing division in the church. But whoever this dude was, guess what the advice was? Paul said, put him out. And that's going to require some courage, some wisdom, some love. And you have to make up your mind and be strong with determination and declare in 2018, for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. What does that mean, Angel? I'm gonna tell you what it means. Drama queens, got to go. Nonsense and foolishness, got to go. Booty calls, click them. Facebook stalkers, delete, 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 delete. Next thing you need to do and hold on into 2018 is to forgive yourself. Come on, lay your hands on yourself and say, I forgive you. Failure is an event, not a destiny. And this is good news, because we all fail and fail sooner or later. And if you haven't, keep living. Because man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. You don't have to look for trouble. Trouble will find you, knock at your door, and ask and tell you, come on and eat of this forbidden fruit. Come on, talk back to me. There's some people in here, you said you wasn't going to cuss. But oh, you got like Peter, you pulled out your knife and you was cussing and cutting. Failure doesn't mean you have blown everything. It means you have some hard lessons to learn. It doesn't mean you are a permanent loser. It means you aren't as smart as you thought you were. It doesn't mean that you should give up. It means you need the Lord to show you the next step. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. It means that God has a better plan for you. See, Peter never forgot what happened when he denied Jesus. As long as he lived, he never forgot that terrible night where he denied Jesus three times. Tradition says that he would start weeping whenever he heard a rooster crow. Tradition also says that he would wake up every night and pray during the hour that he denied Christ. My friend, but out of all of that, forgive yourself. Because the truth of the matter is, you made mistakes before. You will make mistakes again. But his grace is sufficient enough for you. The third thing I think that you need to carry into 2018, you can't throw out all of everything, but I think this one is very important. Stay away from the Grumblers Club. This is when we start playing the comparison game. My church is better than your church. My car is better than your car. My girl better than your girl. My man better than your man. Oh, you ain't got one? Maybe you need to get that in 2018. Y'all not talking back to me here. I'm preaching better than y'all talking to me tonight. The answer is simple. We lose our focus on our ministry, on our destiny, and on our purpose when we begin to grumble against the Lord. Grumbling is a particularly dangerous sin for those of us who are in the body of Christ, because the dictionary offers these definitions for the word: to show one's unhappiness or critical attitude, to make complaining remarks or noises under one's breath, to murmur or mutter in discontent, to complain suddenly. I love that second definition because we've all done that. We complain entirely too much. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to throw anything out, throw away your complaining. Because the truth of the matter is, God has not forgotten you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Matter of fact, the Lord is my shepherd. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I think that sometimes it's that stuff that we be saying of under our breath. Because the Bible has quite a bit of people who are in the grumblers club. And with the preeminent example being the children of Israel. They grumbled because they didn't have enough water. They grumbled because they didn't like the wilderness. They grumbled because they thought Moses was a bad leader. Matter of fact, they grumbled because they missed Egypt. They grumbled because they weren't yet in the promised land. They grumbled because they thought God had let them down. And how many know misery loves company? See, one of the reasons why you need to get rid of those people in your life and put them out is because they'll put negativity in your spirit. Next thing you know, you are no longer the positive, optimistic individual that God has called you to be, made you to be, blessed you to be, anointed you to be, appointed you to be, christened you to be, I don't know, and purpose you to be. But I'm here to let you know, all negative folk gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. Ooh, I felt that in my sanctified toe. But how do you spot a grumbler? If you don't know, because it might apply to you, here are three marks. First, a grumbler is never satisfied with what he has. If it's money, he never has enough. If it's his home, somebody else's has a nicer one. If his grades are in school are an A-, he's disappointed. He's an expert in criticism and has a PhD in nitpicking. Secondly, he always has an excuse. Ask him why he doesn't buy a new car, and he says the interest rates are too high. Ask him again, and he says they cost too much. Ask him again, and he says new cars are a ripoff. So then you go ahead and you ask him, well, why don't you buy a used car? And he says, you're just buying somebody else's problems. Ask him why he doesn't fix up the car he got. Oh, you ain't gonna throw away good money after bad. And thirdly, he secretly believes he can never succeed. And the key word is secretly, because the truth of the matter is he's already given up on life. And I'm here to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, don't give up on life. Because as long as you got breath in your body, you got something to do. God's got work for you to do. God's got an appointment and a purpose in your life. And only thing you got to do is forget those things which are behind and reach for those things which are before and press towards the mark of a higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. The parable Jesus told in Matthew 20, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And really, to get this story, Tim, this is what you have to understand. You have to understand that the landowner has two things. He got plenty of work and he got plenty of money. Let's try that again. He got plenty of work and he got plenty of money. Sound like God. Oh, we got quiet in here now. He got plenty of work and plenty of money. Yeah, he do. And the men in this story, guess what they got? Nothing. They ain't got no job. They ain't got no prospects. They ain't got no money. They ain't got no hope. They ain't got nothing. And the first set of guys are hired at 6 a.m. The next guys are hired at 9 a.m. Another group shows up around noon and they get hired too. Then TJ showed up around 3 p.m. John Jr. showed up at 5 p.m. And they all... They all got hired. And at the end of the day, the owner gets ready to do payroll. Yes, Paulette is sitting right there doing the books. And she's ready to write and cut those checks. And the boss instructs Paulette, instead of paying the 6 a.m. group first, why don't you pay the 5 p.m. group first? Paulette goes and she says, well, how much should I pay him? He gives him the wage. And it's a mighty nice wage for an hour's worth of work. So she didn't ask, well, how much should I pay that 3 o'clock group? Pay them the same thing. How about the ones that came in at 12? Pay them the same thing. The ones that came in at 9, pay them the same thing. Well, what about those guys that have worked 12 hours from 6 o'clock in the evening until 6 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock? Pay them the same thing. And the truth of the matter is, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And see, one of the things that you should never drag into a new year is worrying about other people's business. Look at your neighbor, tell them, mind your business, mind your business, mind your business, mind your business. Come on, tell somebody, mind your beeswax, mind it. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, when we all get to heaven, we all gonna get paid the same thing. The holy roller and the thief on the cross got the same thing. This day thou shalt be in paradise. Do you know better? Watch out about your mumbling and your grumbling, because guess what? One of these days, you're going to go before the judgment bar and God just may say, wait a minute. You said you did all these things in my name. Wait a minute. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I know you not. So before you start any day grumbling, why don't you give him a praise? Matter of fact, this is the day that the Lord has made. Why don't we give him a praise about right now? And as we get ready to listen to you before we go into 2018, carry this one and put it in your wallet, put it in your back pocket, that you are a weeble. You wobble, but you don't fall down. Because we see men and women who are faithful one day and fickle the next. We see Peter boasting until he got busted. We see worship many times mixed with worry. Courage followed by cowardice. Faith matched with doubt. Generosity followed by greed. Kindness overcome by arrogance. And we learn that strong people sometimes do stupid things. Saints often act like sinners. And even sinners sometimes act like saints. If you remember Noah, he built an ark to save his family. And when the flood was over, he got drunk and exposed his nakedness to his son. I think another thing I need to tell you tonight is I know you're going to try to have a little party for the new year, but don't get so drunk that you show your behind. Oh, I wish I had a praying church up in here. It's all right to have a little nip every once in a while, but a drunk is a fool. I just wonder if you know anybody in here know any drunks. That's a fool. They would rather have liquor than to have some pot liquor. They'd rather have some Ciroc instead of some citrus. They'd rather have Hennessy than a ham. God Almighty, don't always walk around thinking that everything is all right, because you can mask it over in the church. But I dare you to just get a little E&J and everything in you will come out of you. Have I got a church up in here? Because a drunk speaks a sober mind. Good God. Of the Chaldees following God's call to the promised land. And when he got there, he lied about his wife. That's another thing you need to leave in 2017. Stop that lying. Stop lying to others. Stop lying on others. And stop lying to yourself. Good God. Not only that, but before Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, he killed an Egyptian and tried to cover over the evidence. That's another thing you need to leave in 2017. Get that bad habit out of the way. Get that cussing spirit out of the way. Put up your knife. Put up your gun. Put up your tongue. I just don't leave it all. Good God. We're running out of time. But I gotta tell you that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Guess what? This 2017 wasn't an accident. It was ordered by the Lord. Didn't happen the way you wanted, but it was ordered by the Lord. You may thought it was going to turn out one way, but it was ordered by the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Oh Lord. So as we go from this place, this is what we're going to cross over into new year of 2017. The first one, my struggles were necessary. So guess what? I'm going to fight on. The second thing, my father has not forgotten me. So I'm going to hang on. And the last one, my future is a going to walk on. Good God, I don't know about you, but you got about 3.5 minutes to get that cry out. Come on, boo it out. Go on, let it go. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy, 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 joy. I dare you right now, stand on your feet. Good God, you be getting ready to say bye-bye. Good God, If I was in France, I would say au revoir. If I was in Germany, I would say auf Wiedersehen. If I was in Hebrew, I would say shalom. If I was Italian, I would say arrivederci. If I was, good God, Spanish, I'd say adios. If I was Vietnamese, I'd say tambiat. But since I'm in Buffalo, bye-bye 2017. So long, won't see you later. Bye-bye. It's been all right. It's been good. But I've got something that's better for me. Come on, wave your hand. Say bye-bye. 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 It's gone. Bye-bye. It's gone. But wait. If I was in France, I would say bonjour. If I was in Hawaii, I'd say aloha. If I'd say annyeong. If I was Portuguese, I'd say oi. If I was Spanish, I'd say hola. But wait a minute, I'm in Buffalo. Hello, 2018. Hello, new season. Hello, new day. Hello, good God. Hello, hello, hello. I dare you, I dare you, I dare you. I dare you to say hello, hello. I say hello, 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 hello. New season, new day. Fresh anointing coming my way. Prosperity. Oh God. And in this first moment, in this first minute of this new year, if we were in Spain, we would say gracias. If we were French, we would say mercy. If we were Italian, we would say grazie. If we were Japanese, we would say arigato. If we were German, we would say Dankeschön. But unfortunately, we in Buffalo, can somebody tell God, thank you! Thank you! Thank you! Thank you! Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you! It into a new year. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, oh, oh,
he's good. Yeah, yeah. Say yeah. Yeah! And all the time I know, oh, he's good.
Yes, he is.
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 Yes, he is. Yes,
he is. He is good. Say all the time. And all the time I know, oh, he's good. He's good all the time, and all the time I know, oh, he's good.
Good, yeah.
Grab the person, grab somebody's hand in this building, grab somebody's hand. Our Father and our God, we bless you and we thank you for this another year. Some of us were given doctor's notes, but we found out the doctor was practicing, but you're a healer, and we thank you. Some didn't think they would make it this far. But somehow, some way, your word came true. Never seen the righteous forsaken. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you brought us into another year. We give you glory. And God, we pray a special blessing upon those who are in this room, those who are listening, those who are watching. For we know, oh God, in this year we're going to need your help. In this day we're going to need your help. Strengthen us where we are weak. Build us up where we're turned down.
Yes, Lord.
Someone in here just needs their joy restored. And I pray, oh God, that you will restore unto them the joy of their salvation. God, I pray that you would mend families together. Give them a heart to be bonded together in the love that you have shown towards us. For those families that are broken.